This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar. Now, who among us hasn't gone into a public bathroom at a bar or restaurant and taken an extra second to look at all the writing on the walls? Of course, there are immature words, very mature images, but you know, sometimes there are honest admissions from anonymous writers. There are words of encouragement, and if you're lucky, really funny stuff. Now there's an off-Broadway one-woman show that is an ode to bathroom graffiti. It's from comedian and musician Caitlin Cook. It's called The Writing on the Stall, and it features songs Cook wrote entirely using the writing she's found in bathrooms as the lyrics. Let's listen to an example. This is a song called Conversations with Strangers.
I like writing on walls. F*** you, society, Dan. Dan, this is actually a door, not a wall. Regards, society. Follow your dreams. I literally only have nightmares. Question everything. Why? Your girl on a scale of one to America. How free are you tonight? That's a great line. But underneath it, someone wrote, Germany 1942.
The Writing on the Stall is running at Soho Playhouse through April 13th, and with me now is its creator and performer, Caitlin Cook. Caitlin, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we got to get you on this conversation, too. Are you someone who writes on bathroom walls, or have you written on the walls of bathrooms in the past? We want to know, what compelled you? Call or text us now at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. WNYC. Or hey, maybe there is a bathroom in the city, maybe a bar or a restaurant that you go to a lot that you think, hey, these are the walls that you got to check out. Or is there a word or phrase that you see everywhere? Call us, text us, 212-433-WNYC, or you can hit us up on social. We're at All of It WNYC. All right, Caitlin, so regarding the show, can you walk us through the origin story of how the show came to you? And please tell me it happened when you were on the toilet.
It did. I've always been someone that was really interested in finding art in unexpected places. I studied art history in undergrad and grad school, and I started to get a little frustrated with how pretentious that world can be. And once I was sitting on a toilet and I saw a piece of bathroom graffiti that said, "Since writing on bathroom walls is neither for critical acclaim nor financial reward, it is the purest form of art discuss." And I just loved that idea that if you push away all the pretension of the art world, here is this old form of art that isn't really trying to impress anyone, that we don't even know the creators of. And yet it stretches back as far as like 60,000 years ago, you know, cave paintings. And I was just really fascinated by this idea. I started photographing bathroom graffiti everywhere. And I'm a musician as well. And so about 5 or 6 years ago, I wrote my first bathroom graffiti song of some of my favorite graffiti that I had found and photographed. And that went over so well. Like, I was getting standing ovations. People were showing me pictures of bathroom graffiti they had found and taken pictures of afterwards. People really connected with it because it's such a universal thing, right? Mm. And so I realized I have hundreds of thousands of pictures. I could write a whole musical out of some of these.
Hundreds of thousands?
Oh, at this point, yeah. Wow. Because I get about 100 DMs a day from people sending me bathroom graffiti.
And what's the process look like for taking the raw material and actually making it into a song? What's the research process like? What bathrooms are you going into? How are you doing it?
I mean, when I first realized, hey, I have so many pictures, I started going through all the files and grouping them into concepts. So I had one that was women's stalls, one that was men's stalls, one that was unisex stalls. I said, hey, maybe I can do a song comparing all of these. That's a song called The Difference on my album. The one that you just heard is called Conversations with Strangers, and it's all kinds of graffiti of people replying to each other. And that one I found super interesting because it's all about connecting with people that you'll never meet, that you probably weren't even in the bathroom on the same night. I wrote a song of all the poetic things, the sad, beautiful things. I wrote a song of all the hateful, awful, sort of like bullying things. And it started to just take shape. It was mostly, at this point, the show is mostly things that I found and photographed myself, though there is some stuff that followers and listeners have sent in. I am thinking of eventually, after this solo show run is over, I think there's so many more stories to tell. And I don't want to be the only person just up on stage telling them. I want a whole small ensemble show that I'm working on through found art that people have sent to me now, because I have so many more beautiful photos of bathroom graffiti that I haven't really gotten to take advantage of yet. So
is every lyric in the show originating from a lyric something that you saw on the wall, or did you have to add in lyrics to, you know, connect verse to chorus?
For the most part, I tried to stick to as much found art as possible. I'm a writer and a comedian, and sometimes someone wrote a really good premise and I had a really good punchline. In the show itself, sometimes I've had to rewrite stuff because the picture I took was really bad quality because of the lighting in bathrooms. So I had to rewrite it. And sometimes I've realized, oh, I actually added an and in here when I was singing it. And so I'll scribble that in to make it all make sense. But I really did want to stick as much as I could to the origin of it being found art, songs created by strangers, the people.
And there are a bunch of songs, and I saw the performance last week. Mm-hmm. One thing I found interesting, without giving up too much away, it's songs within a structure of a story. When did that structure come out? And obviously, don't want to ruin anything in the show, but I'm imagining the songs came first, or was there an idea of what the songs would lead to?
So I wrote my first show for the Edinburgh Fringe, my first hour-long show. In 2019, and that show had one bathroom graffiti song and was really like my story. I feel like everyone's first show is usually their own story. And then I was returning to the Edinburgh Fringe and I decided I needed to write a whole new hour because that's what people do there. So I wrote all of the bathroom graffiti songs, and I came into that fringe having a good structure of bathroom graffiti songs, but not a through line of a story. And I realized I was doing this thing on stage where people would walk away thinking, oh, that was so fun. I saw a bunch of bathroom graffiti, but I don't know anything about this girl that was just telling me about these pieces of graffiti and singing these songs. Like, what is her story? And finally, I saw this beautiful show by Michael Cruz Kane at the Minetta Lane Theater that I just was really touched by it. It was so authentically his story. And also funny and heartwarming and cathartic and sad. And I was supposed to hang out with a bunch of friends after we saw the show. And instead, I was like, I got to go home immediately. And I opened up both scripts of both my shows and I started to stitch them together. So in many ways, they sort of happened concurrently and at various times over like a 3 or 4 year period. And then I realized I needed to tell my most vulnerable story as I'm taking all of these vulnerable things that people have written on walls and telling their stories at the same time. So I rewrote the show for the last off-Broadway run I did in September at Soho Playhouse. That was my off-Broadway debut. And something just clicked. Like afterwards, people were not only showing me bathroom graffiti, they were telling me their stories and really connecting with me, which I thought was so cool. And I'm so proud of the show. It is the most vulnerable piece I've ever written about my own trauma and coming of age story. And also it is hopefully universal and bringing in all these little bits of stories, things people have written on walls.
I would love to hear a piece of that because, you know, you're talking about human connection.
Exactly.
Actually, a fantastic segue into a clip that we picked for, you know, listeners to listen to. Here is a song from your show. It's called Good Luck Out There, Human.
There are times when the walls are silent and the moon is howling.
I'm fire. I think I'm in love. I think that it's over. It's over with you. Caitlin, it's easy to forget when you're listening to this that all of those lyrics are things that you found anonymous folks writing on the stalls of bathrooms. Yeah. And in my mind, at least, the question that I have is why, in the sense of why that desire for human connection coming out in these bathroom stalls? You said yourself just before we listened to the clip, once you stitched the stories together, you felt like so many people were coming and sharing their stories to you. What is it about bathroom graffiti that brings that out?
I think there's a bunch of reasons, but I think there's this sense of anonymity. No one's ever going to know who you are. There's also a sense of like a little bit of doing something a little bit wrong because it's vandalism. So it feels like you're doing something risky. And I think in particular, women's bathrooms are a safe space a lot of the time. It's a place where I feel like I've met a lot of my best friends that night. You know, I comforted someone while they were crying. I borrowed a tampon. I shared someone's lipstick. It's a place that is a moment of brief connection out from the outside world. And I think that's very visible in the graffiti in women's bathrooms a lot of the time. But I think there's just something about this vulnerable place where we're doing something that all humans do and have done throughout all of time. And it's a little, you know, gross and uncomfortable, and we don't talk about it. And there's just something vulnerable about being in that position that sometimes makes you want to share your deepest, darkest secret. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's speaking of maybe not deepest, darkest secret right now. Maybe we'll get to that. But we did just get a text that I want to share. It says, one of the greatest pieces of graffiti that I've come across years ago, back on a hot, humid Hoboken night in the men's room of a great dive bar called Fabian's, there below the jealousy window and above the urinal, somebody had scratched into the wall, "Hell is hot, but is it humid?" And this is from Miller in Briel, New Jersey. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Listeners, we want to bring you in on this conversation. We're talking to Caitlin Cook, the comedian and musician. Her off-Broadway show, The Writing on the Stall, is running at Soho Playhouse through April 13th. It's about the graffiti that you see on bathroom and public stalls. She makes a lot of songs out of them and stitches a story together. And we want to know, are you someone who writes on bathroom walls or has written on bathroom walls in the past? What led you to doing so? So give us a call, send us a text, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Of course, this is public radio. Got to keep it clean, hopefully like the bathrooms that you are frequenting. But if you have any stories you want to share to us, call us, text us, 212-433-9692. We'll be right back with Caitlin after this. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar, and we're talking to Caitlin Cook, the comedian and musician, about her off-Broadway show, The Writing on the Stall. It's running at Soho Playhouse through April 13th. It is about the songs that you can stitch together if you use the writing that you find on bathroom stalls. And listeners, if you want to join us in on this conversation, you can give us a call, shoot us a text. The number is 212-433-9692. Caitlin, I was lucky to see a show last week, and one thing that immediately stood out to me is how much crowd work you do in the show, how interactive it is. Did you know from the start you wanted to involve the audience?
Yes. I was writing the show to better myself as a performer. I have always been a very strong writer and songwriter, and I really pride myself on that. But I used to have debilitating stage fright, and I still sometimes get really nervous before I get on stage. And I wanted to write a show that would force me to put myself outside of my comfort zone, especially because one of the pieces of graffiti that I refer back to in the show many times is "Do what scares you, even if it's everything." And I've built my life around that piece of graffiti and that motto. And so I wrote into the show, the very beginning of the show, there's a toilet on stage. It's set in a dive bar bathroom. I come out. Well, there's a sound effect of me peeing, realizing the audience is there, and then realizing that there's no toilet paper. And I have to ask the audience for toilet paper or for something. And the show literally cannot continue until someone brings me something, which is so scary to start a show like that, to start a show relying on the audience to help create this world with me. And yet I don't see how the show could start any other way than asking the audience to take part in this world building and this crowd work and participate and getting their consent to basically create this show with them for an hour.
Because fundamentally, I mean, one thesis of the show is that it's about human connection, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So speaking of human connection, we've got Steve from Westchester. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Having me. So I was just really curious if she had any friends bringing her material from the men's room, because I imagine there could be some quite stark differences in material.
Yes, absolutely. I have. I have a whole song called The Difference, and it's the difference between men's and women's bathroom graffiti. I have had a lot of male friends go into men's bathrooms. Sometimes there's a long line at the women's, and I will peek into the men's bathroom if there's no one in there and take some pictures myself. But yeah, there is a stark difference. I would say overall, women's bathroom graffiti tends to be very supportive and empowering, and men's bathroom graffiti tends to feature a lot of phalluses.
Steve, let me just say thank you so much. Great question. Appreciate the call. Caitlin, are there common phrases you notice the most in either gender bathroom or non-gendered bathrooms?
I don't know. Sometimes there's trends of things. Like, for instance, I was finding this piece of graffiti I was seeing a lot that said Toy Story 2 was okay. And I was so curious about why this was written everywhere. And I included it in one of the songs that... part of it isn't in the show, but I started doing it around town. And as I posted it online, I realized someone commented, "That's from an old Dimitri Martin album." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What?" Like, Dimitri Martin was one of my earliest influences. But I didn't remember that this one specific joke he was asking, he was tired of extreme bathroom graffiti and he was wishing that people would write something ambivalent like Toy Story 2 was okay. And then people wrote it everywhere. And so he started this trend. Sometimes you just see people hearing something and deciding I'm going to write that, and then you start seeing it all over different countries, all over different cities, and it just becomes this trend.
I love that you bring up countries too, because I'm sure that you've gone around the world at this point looking at different bathroom stalls. Any differences between cities, between countries?
At this point, I have a lot of people sending in stuff from all over the world, which is so cool. But in my personal travels, I lived in the UK for a while, and what I find is that they have sometimes more like specific bathroom graffiti, but their walls get painted over more often. So whereas bathroom graffiti tends, especially in New York, tends to just like linger here for a while or get written over with more graffiti, there's a lot more sort of like painting over of places in the UK that I'll return to and looking for a specific piece that I found and it'll be gone. Maybe new things will be there. But yeah, there's more turnover, I guess.
And the timing is perfect because we got a text from a listener about a bathroom in Berlin.
It reads,
"My favorite graffiti was a bathroom in Berlin where someone wrote something really positive about active consent and looking out for each other. It really set the tone for the bar."
Aww.
That's super interesting. Thanks so much for sending that. Also, a text seen in a Columbia men's dorm bathroom. This is Columbia, the university, just to be clear, because we're talking about countries. Seen in a Columbia men's bathroom dorm stock in 1975. "To be is to do, Socrates. To do is to be, Sartre. And to be so, be do, Sinatra." Which is great. If you're just joining us, this is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar. We're talking to Caitlin Cook. Her off-Broadway show, The Writing on the Stall, is running at Soho Playhouse right now through April 13th. We're talking about bathroom graffiti and the songs you can make out of it. So listeners, if you have a story of bathroom graffiti that you find especially interesting and it's clean, give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. WNYC. Caitlin, you mentioned that you've spent a while studying bathroom graffiti. What kind of observations about the writing have you made that you think you can only notice if somebody is paying close attention to what's on the wall?
That's a good question. It's hard to draw any real conclusions because at the end of the day, like, I'm interpreting the artist's intent and I don't know the artist themselves. I never will. And that's so sad. But I think for the most part, because it's anonymous and because it's not this kind of art that people are doing for acclaim, they're not doing it for someone to buy that piece. It's not thought of in this particularly like high art kind of way. It's a very free kind of art form. In fact, I don't think a lot of the people writing on stalls would consider themselves artists. Mm. They're just writing their thoughts. And yet that makes it so, yeah, so unbelievably free. Sometimes it's beautiful confessions. Sometimes it's something really silly. Sometimes it's something really hateful. Sometimes it's something really sad. But I just think of that person who happened to wander into that bathroom with a pen, and I want to know their stories and I want to tell them more, you know.
Can you compare in any way, or is it even fair to compare this art, which you kind of, to paraphrase, you're saying it's art by the masses anonymously, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. High art, which is often art done by the individual very gloriously.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to compare art, but do you feel in your mind that we undervalue what graffiti or anonymous art has to offer?
Yeah, I do. I think that's one of my main moments of the show in which I sort of talk about my art history background a little bit. It's very silly the way I do it. But I just talk about, I show some examples of cave paintings and really, really old forms of bathroom graffiti. And I generally make this point of like, why is one work of art better than it's just because it's hung in a gallery rather than carved into a toilet seat or on a bathroom wall? And it's not to say that some of that art isn't better or worse. It's more to just say, what is art actually? And can we find it everywhere, even in the most unexpected places?
We've got Jules from Brooklyn. Hi, Jules. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I love that you just mentioned kids, too, because my little anecdote is that my 9-year-old and me obviously are obsessed with these kinds of doors, walls, the ones covered in stickers and graffiti and posters and things that we all see all over the city. And he wanted to create his bedroom door to look like one. And so for years now, we've been adding and drawing. His friends come over and tag it up. And we just add any sort of souvenir sticker, fragment, brochure, menu that he really likes. And it's become this like memory collection and nod to the city that I grew up in and now he's growing up in. And I'm also a painter here in New York, and I do cityscapes all the time. My tag is small home, and I always include the graffiti or the beat-up door or the writing on the wall, literally, like, in my paintings, because it really just adds to the character of the building that I'm encapsulating.
Jules, thank you so much for that call. Caitlin,
I love that.
What do you love about it?
I just love that she's incorporating her like kid's love of art in his own door. And also that she includes in, I think a lot of people when they paint or take photographs of cityscapes want to sort of crop out the dirtiness or the sort of rundown doors or graffitied areas. And yet, isn't that the heart and soul of the city sometimes?
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, your last show at the Soho Playhouse is April 13th. Mm-hmm. Any plans for the show once it wraps?
Yes, I am taking it to New Orleans on May 1st. And then I have some Chicago and St. Louis and more Midwest states coming up. And then I'm going to bring it back to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for the final 2 weeks at the Pleasance, and then I'm going to bring it to London and hopefully some other cities in Europe.
Wow! And as you're thinking about this odyssey, I guess that you're going on, mm-hmm. to borrow another high art example, I guess, is the sense of bathroom graffiti evolving for you in any way, or is it just like you found what the nut is to this story and you're taking it to the next level? How do you think about it for yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting now because I think about it as I feel possessive isn't the right word, but I feel like it's an exciting adventure every time I go into a bathroom and maybe there's a little gift for me there. Mm. I'll feel a little disappointed if there isn't. And I'll feel a sense of like ownership of like I found that, which is so funny because I didn't make it. Mm. But because I have this platform now and people are coming to see my shows, I feel like if I found it, I get to share it with more people than have stepped into that bathroom. Mm. So there's an excitement there. And then there's also, as I was saying, I'm so excited about this solo show. I'm so proud of it. I think it's the best, most vulnerable, funniest work I've ever made. And I'm also excited to stop being the only person on stage. And so any new piece of graffiti I find that I really love, I think, oh, that's going to be a lyric in the ensemble show that I'll eventually start really digging into.
That's wonderful. It'll be exciting for folks to be able to connect with you in these new ways across the world as well. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to Caitlin Cook, the comedian and musician. Her off-Broadway show, The Writing on the Stall, is running at Soho Playhouse through April 13th. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And let's go out on another quick song, just a few seconds of it. Here is Confessions.
On my 21st birthday, I got so drunk, I threw up on a car, a cop car. My ex-boyfriend has been staying with me on my couch while
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.